Coming to you from dreary Portland, Oregon.
Shut up, lady. You're fucking up the audio.
Your hosts, Katie Cassidy and Aaron Brancher, have some hot takes on film, cinema, and the movies. That's all the same thing. It's the Ask Backwards Podcast. You idiot. You moron. You stupid bitch.
That's good. That's what I aspire to be as an artist. Somebody who can inspire Pinterest posts. Fucking Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. Being Shia LaBeouf has been Shia LaTuff.
It has been Shia LaTuff. It's been Shia LaRuff, if anything.
Yeah, at the very least. So, all right. Good segue. So with we're talking about American Honey. No, let me go in order of when it came out. Newest being Honey Boy, American Honey, and Charlie Countryman. Just the three that we're sort of going to talk about.
You want to come off fresh on Charlie Countryman?
Yeah, let's go, I guess, oldest to newest then, because we just finished that, like, fucking 30 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah. I'd probably say more like an hour.
I'd give it another 30 minutes, as a matter of fact.
I would, in fact. You had to do your makeup, and I watched at least two full episodes of Always Sunny.
You're right, that did happen. Okay, fine. Call it an even 40 minutes. About 40 minutes ago, we watched Charlie Countryman. You for, like, the millionth time, me for the first time.
Yeah, I've seen Charlie Countryman, and it's probably one of the movies I've probably seen the most. It was just one of those frequents you'd find on Netflix and be like, man, this is a good movie. And it just, like, cuts through all, like, the fucking... Like, when you scroll through Netflix, what do you see? Bad TV shows.
Yeah.
You see...
Sequels.
Sequels,
but no originals.
None of the originals.
My biggest pet peeve.
And then, like, one movie by a good director, and you're like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna watch that. And you watch it, and you're like, oh, man, I want to watch more of his movies. And then you're like, oh, they're all on everything else.
Yes.
So... Like, I saw Charlie Countryman a long time ago, and I was like, oh, this movie kicks ass, and it had Shia LaBeouf in it, and who doesn't love Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah.
I've always liked Shia LaBeouf. Talking fucking Even Stevens, I'm talking Disturbia.
Sure, dude.
Disturbia was one of my favorite movies.
It was so good.
Disturbia's great. Aaron, I know what Aaron's going to say while he's listening to this podcast editing.
What?
He's going to say Disturbia is just a modern day Rear Window. If you like Rear Window, you like Disturbia. I like Disturbia.
Don't get me wrong. I like Disturbia.
I like Disturbia. Rear Window did it better.
I feel like he's here.
20 years earlier.
Hit that.
More. But... Yeah, no, like, it's a good movie here.
Oh, might be.
Take that. Yeah.
Might be.
But, like, yeah, it's a good movie. So I just, like, frequented, like, it on the Netflix queue. Fuck, I'm high. I rolled a good joint.
Into the astral realm.
For real.
With Shia LaBeouf.
He's so memeable. He's just, like, the perfect guy. So I'm like,
so
of course
cool.
I'm going to watch this movie. And he plays, like, this really soft... sad guy, and it was the first time I've ever really seen Shia LaBeouf as, like, the super soft sad guy.
Yeah, he's so vulnerable at it. Could you run through sort of what it is for anyone that hasn't seen it? Because it is totally hard to find, but worth the search. Go rent it on YouTube. That was what we came to.
Yeah, so you can watch it for free on Amazon Prime, but you have to watch it with ads. And we saw the first ad immediately sucks you
out
of the first big moment.
It takes you so out of it.
And then, so you're like, fuck. So we found it on YouTube. We were able to rent it. And it's... So basically, it's about this guy, Charlie Countryman, and he's played by Shia LaBeouf. And Shia LaBeouf basically has, like, this, like, vision quest-esque, like, moment happening in his life.
Yeah, his mom,
I wouldn't. Oh, I was gonna, are we gonna spoil it flat out?
Is that a spoiler?
Yeah. I mean... his mom dies and speaks to him and tells him to go to Bucharest.
I don't feel like that's a spoiler. You guys, listen to me. That's in the first 5 to 7 minutes. That's what's driving the plot.
That's fair. So, yeah. So, he goes on, like, this vision quest because his mom told him to go to Bucharest because she never told him to do anything in his life and he just needed her to be specific one time.
Yeah.
And she said the first thing that came to her mind, and he goes on this beautiful little fucking journey, and he goes to, like, all these youth hostels. And he just interacts with the people in this country. I mean, the movie's super cerebral, and it gets really kind of wacky, and it's a little...
Fucking Ron Weasley's in that bitch, dude. Not acting like Ron Weasley. That was cool.
This was, like, the first time I've ever seen child stars, like child stars I knew about, or, like, people who, like, kind of, like, started out, like, smaller shit that I liked.
Yeah.
Like, more popular things. Like, Shia LaBeouf is Transformers guy. Fucking Rupert Grint was Ron Weasley. These are child actors you grew up
now with. Doing like real roles and real stuff. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And even this was in 2013. So really, if Even Stevens was around 2005 and fucking this was in 2013. So not even 10 years later, Shia LaBeouf's playing this like adult role that is really the main character in this, I guess, love story. It's a love story.
It's 100% a love story. It's this weird fucking Romanian tech noir-esque.
Yeah. Like, it's such story. A weird vibe.
Like, it has like all these beautiful neon lit moments, like all these like rave and like cool techno music like aspects in the movie. Shia LaBeouf is running his ass off in this film.
Yeah,
He's Tom Cruise. Eat your heart out. Shia LaBeouf is hauling ass in this movie.
He is on fire. And like we were talking about, so in the trailer, you know, it shows him running like 4,000 different places, different times. And I'm like, Shia LaBeouf running movie. Okay, I'm in, but why is he running? I'll tell you, dudes. Fucking every time he's running was for a totally different reason.
Yeah.
It was literally... Every time was for a different drive, dude. And I wasn't sick of seeing him running.
Every time he runs, it's the best scene.
I was in it.
Every time it happens, it's the best scene. And like, I remember saying that like four times in the movie. Like, watch, this is my favorite part coming up.
just him running,
having this beautiful moment. Or this terrifying moment. Or this cool fucking action, like, fucking Bond. Not Bond, but like John Wick, like... Running through the fucking the landscape.
Yeah, it's these fucking cool amazing. Foreign streets. Yeah, no, it's dope. It's really dope. Yeah, I was excited to see it, and I'm excited to like start really discovering like more of his own like. It seems like maybe personal choice indie films because, dude, like we were talking about earlier, this guy's fucking set up. Even Stevens, Chang Goldmine. Oh, that wasn't enough. Transformers. All of those Transformers. That literally is another gold mine. So now, like we were saying, he could just chill. And he's, like, chilling in the coolest way and not, like, a washed-up kind of way.
Like, he's a phenomenal actor. Like, these are the movies we're going to focus on, but I feel like it's noteworthy to mention, like, I don't know if you've seen Fury.
Yes, I almost wrote Fury down, but I was like, is it weird to bring up? So that was only a year after Charlie Countryman. That was
I know, that I realized that whenever I realized Charlie Countryman came out in 2013.
It's crazy.
I was like, what the fuck, man? I watched Fury not too long ago, like maybe I'd say 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's so good.
And of course, like, you're like Brad Pitt, like... carrying this movie, but oh, watch out, Shia LaBeouf is coming in. Like, yo, he's the best character. Like, I love seeing him on screen in anything.
And like, he's so my expressive.
He's my favorite part of any movie.
Yeah.
Regardless who else is in it. I love him to death. I have a crush on Shia LaBeouf.
Dude, yeah, I'm in love with Shia LaBeouf. I need to think of a fun pun so I could, like, tweet him. And get ignored, but people assume that was funny. She tried. It was funny.
She tried. No, he's just like this perfect memeable guy.
Yeah.
He's just so cool. I love his Hot Ones interview. I don't know if you've seen
that. I haven't seen that, no.
Oh my God. He's so fucking funny because he's just like the natural funny guy.
Yeah.
But he's talking. He's like, takes a bite and he goes, okay. All right. There's not ketchup in these bottles. Dude's fucking
me
awesome.
And Shia LaBeouf.
I'm so high. That would cut this out.
No, keep that in. And as a matter of fact, let's put a side by side.
No,
of
what don't he do it.
Like
don't
next
do it.
To the original.
No,
video.
But he's just like this handsome, rustic caveman guy with his big fucking thick fingernails. Like he was looking good in Charlie Countryman.
Yeah.
Man.
So what do you think? Like, give me your feed me some of your ideas on Charlie Countryman. I don't know. What do you think? Pitch me some thoughts.
I mean, I've heard there's like I like to watch the movie at face value. It's so entertaining. Mm-hmm. Like the story that's being told is enough. I don't really need to speculate on much. It's not like it's not doing Eternal Sunshine.
No,
stuff.
Of
it's
course not. Doing, of course not.
It introduces things like that, and it introduces like hallucinogenic drugs in a weird way. So you're like, oh, am I tripping with him? Like,
okay, so
it raises those questions, but it kind of figures itself out. So if you watch the movie at face value, you're good.
Yeah.
But there's like all these theories like, oh, the first time fucking Nigel shows up in the bathroom while he's pissing in the urinal coming out of his naked lady ecstasy binge.
Yeah.
Some people like to think that's not really Nigel. And I mean, I think it is because it's what grounds him back into reality so he can go meet Gabby.
Yeah.
And like, he even like, they shook hands and he looks at his hand and he's like, he's like, I felt that.
Yeah, and then touches the wall.
And he grounds himself, and he fucking goes and sees Gabby. Now, this movie's very... There's a lot of convenience in this plot. These characters are kind of just around each other,
yeah.
Thankfully, or they're always kind of looking for each other, so they're constantly running into each other.
Yeah, they are so conveniently in each other's
orbit. Because this movie takes place in like 4 days tops, honestly.
Yeah.
5 early morning.
It's nonstop. Like just...
4 days and like maybe 12 hours. Like
13 max.
13. But then, like.
Yeah, it's so fast. There's so much crunched together. I remember. One scene was starting after a super chaotic one. I was like, I feel like he's been here way too long for her to be welcoming him. And you were like, no, dude, he's been here for like 3 days.
Yeah,
what like the fuck?
They hadn't had a proper time yeah. to like say what's up. They had only ever seen each other in passing on the street or like during the first traumatic 20 yeah. minutes of that movie.
Their trauma bond.
Like, that movie's so fun. It jazzes you up. You're like, fuck yeah, this movie's yeah. funny. This movie's like doing cool stuff.
And it had me... Like, twice. Like, in literal actual tears. Like, I'm emotionally invested. Shia LaBeouf's fucking killing it, dude. Being emotional. I'm tied into it. I'm crying. Literally, the very next scene, I'm laughing. Like, they had me in. And it's so underrated. You said it had, what, like a 27% on Rotten
Something
Tomatoes?
Something like that.
It's so fucked up. This movie was good. This is a good movie.
It's a really good movie. It's so slept on.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I see some of, like, the goofy filmmaking.
For sure.
I see, like, but... I feel like the movie's in on itself, and you can't judge it for, like, you can't, like, put it on, like, oh, it's not, like, a Tarantino film, or it's not, like, this Oscar-worthy movie. Like, no, it's just some cool fucking
yeah,
movie this guy made.
Is this cool artsy
they
thing.
They just wanted a lot of concepts in one movie, and they did it tastefully.
Yeah.
I really like that fucking movie.
I like it, too. Yeah. Anyone listening, watching, Haunted Down on YouTube, don't get disrupted by the ads. That... sent me into a fury, you know, pun intended. Yeah, that pissed me off, though. It took me right out.
Yeah, I say it's a soft, like, and like, there's so many people in that movie. Like, it has, like, the bad guy. I fucking hate that I don't know his name. The bad guy from,
Was he in
Doctor
Blow?
Strange. Is that guy in Blow?
Yeah.
I don't think that guy was in Blow. I love that movie.
In my mind, he was the, like, cute little, like kind of flamey bartender. Or not bartender, bitch. Who am I talking about? You know, they say, had the same tight face and hair, and I really was like, maybe?
I don't think so.
Maybe not.
I don't think so. He was the bad guy in Doctor Strange. I know that. He's the guy who plays Hannibal in the show Hannibal.
Oh, okay.
If that's his name. I don't watch the show. I don't know.
I assume
it's Hannibal.
Kelly had it on.
Yeah. I've never seen a single episode. I've seen an organ get grinded up once.
That was in the processor. I was there.
That was pretty cool.
That was cool.
And that was the night we were watching American Honey.
It was.
But wait.
Which brings us straight into that, actually.
Does it? Yeah,
yeah,
you're right.
So American Honey, 2016.
I get confused with the honey names. This man loves honey. Shia LaBeouf. Is a bumblebee.
Yeah.
He's
that's
soft
it.
And fuzzy, and I love him.
Yeah, dude, Shia LaBeouf is sweet as honey. All right, so, yeah, American Honey, 2016. It was another independent film. And, oh, my God, bro, watching it with you the other day was a totally different experience. I've watched that movie, like, 2 or 3 times on my own in the last year. Really loved it.
I've only ever seen the movie once on my own.
Oh, okay.
That was my second time seeing that movie.
Oh, yeah, it was different.
It was very different. I completely agree, because I loved the movie the first time I watched
yeah.
it. I was like one of those guys. I was like, oh, man, it was more of like an experience more than
it
like
was
a
fucking
movie.
Experience.
And that is genuinely what I do still like about the movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, you feel involved with these people. These people don't feel like actors at all. Excuse me, let me clear my throat. Milk is a terrible thing to have in a podcast.
I feel like the McPoyles. Why do we have
Why do we
milk?
Have milk? I feel greasy like a fucking McPoyle. Just came here after work, bro. Came here after work, smoked weed, and now we're talking about this shit.
Real work.
I'm so greasy. I'm wearing my work shoes. They're sweaty. Mac was sniffing my fucking foot so bad earlier because of it. Man was on my shit, son.
He had a Shiloh snuff.
Yeah. Anyways, what were we talking about? American Honey.
American Honey.
So, yeah, like, I love being involved with these people. I love, because, like, a lot of those people feel like some asshole you knew in your fucking high school.
For sure.
Or some fucking loser, like, you just know about, like, or your cousin knows.
Yeah, no, it's very real. So, anyone that doesn't know, really quick, main character girl named Star, she's, like, 18, 19, it's insinuated. She's in, like, a really fucked up, like, white trash household, really fucked up. Finds her escape when she, like, runs into this, like, magazine-selling crew. It sounds lame. Just ignore that part. I feel like that's so, like, not part of the story. And it's in its bio, and it kind of detracts from it making people want to watch. Don't think about the magazines.
The magazines mean nothing.
No, they're literally meaningless. They're just a divisive tool to get her with this team, really.
Yeah. So, team of ragtag misfits. Yeah, we sell magazines. Misfits. We have tattoos. I whipped my penis out.
Yeah, yeah. Ah, we had the dick out.
We all have this piercing right here.
Mm-hmm.
We all have it.
Shia LaBeouf has a rat tail in it, though.
Rat tail.
He rocks it.
And he still looks cute.
Yeah, he does.
Wearing his suspenders and his fucking big baggy white shirt. And he has his little sport jacket when he goes up and sells magazines.
Yeah.
Man is a salesman out of hell. I would buy all of his magazines. I would buy no one else's.
I would do literally anything you're trying to sell me, I'm buying it. Anything.
I'm on it.
He could step on my fingers if he wants to. It's fine. It's okay.
Well, they listened to We Fell in Love in a fucking hopeless place.
Yeah, that was their cue song, and that's how she really stumbles upon them. They're having a grocery store flirtation, and they all bust into dance when Rihanna comes on.
And that's the thing, though. The music is all ambient audio. Mm-hmm. It's all fucking just in the background. You're in the scene with them.
Except
the
for cameras, maybe twice.
Maybe twice in this whole film are three you hour not. Movie. In this almost 3 hour long movie, are you with these people on like a handy cam fucking like, you feel like you're along with them this whole trip. And then two scenes, there's like an actual moment happening. There's some like if you feel like you're like, oh yeah, this is a movie.
Yeah, where you're taken out of like a POV perspective, because I feel like the way the camera moves around and how it is so handheld and close in and almost claustrophobic and intimate at times, depending on the scene, it's like it really does make it look like you're looking around and like you're in that vibe.
The sex scene. That just felt like, oh yeah, so this movie...
Like so many sex scenes,
there's
though.
A lot of sex scenes in this movie, and so like, I'm not a prude. Cool sex scene in a movie.
Yeah, when it's tastefully done and for a reason.
In Charlie Man. Countryman, it felt like, you know, that's like, when they had a moment, because you got to spend time with these characters. You got to see them develop, and like their romance finally came to a point to where they could share each other, you know, physically. Whatever. I understand the purpose of a sex scene.
Yeah.
In this movie, it was just rampant, just like, oh my god, it was so many. It was so, like, in there with them. You saw some Shia LaShaft in a bunch.
I can't even call it softcore, because it was honestly more than softcore. Like,
I felt like
I was hanging out with my friends watching porn.
Yeah, and it was just like, because, like, it was, like, ambient audio music, like, ambient music.
And they
like,
cut the fucking music off at one point.
Yeah,
he hits
breathe.
The radio off, and it's just... breathing, smooching.
The worst one was in the grass when the camera was like jostling in the grass and you saw them like physically like rut, like, yo, y'all are gonna get itchy.
We were
son.
Like moving
y'all
with his
are
head.
Actually in the grass naked with each other. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Is there one other guy on this set? This movie is very intimate.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is like, again, a reason why I like it. But yo, when I first watched it, it was like, can't cut that movie down. Can't cut that movie down at all.
Yeah.
It's a perfect film.
It's 2 hours and 43 minutes total.
Real good.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
And then I watched it with you and I was like,
yeah.
Yo, this is fucking bad. Like, this is, like, a lot of this is so long. Shut up, cutie.
Yeah.
Shut up, fucking.
All these background
shrimp
girls.
Shut up,
over.
Haircut, gun tattoos. Shut up. Shut up, all you fucking idiots. I hate you. The guy whips his dick out. What is that about? I hate it.
It's a sexual assault charge is what it's all about.
I know. And guess where Shia LaBeouf is? Not in the van with Star. They make Star hang out with the background characters.
That
is the whole movie.
For sure, something I need to address. Okay? So, yeah, she obviously goes off with the fucking people. And, like, the rest of the movie is her with the team. So... Here's what I'm thinking.
Right.
I want to so badly, I so deeply want to give the script and the, like, production, like, the benefit of the doubt that we spend so much of this movie with Star and the background characters while Shia LaBeouf is, like, off doing whatever because we're supposed to miss him and, like, wait for his presence and, like, long for his presence the way Star is to make us feel what she's feeling, you know?
I completely agree with you.
And I want that to be true, and I think that it is intentional, but I feel like it almost could have been trimmed down. Like, we miss him too much.
I know. Like, I need, like, I'm like, dude, these moments, like, this, like, yes, being with these characters and being intimate with, like, these real life kind of people, having these nothing conversations and saying ridiculous shit, that's all fun and games.
Yeah.
I remember, they're like, can we get the dog high? And, like, one of the characters is like, is that animal cruelty? And then one character, and then the other guy goes, nah, man, by far.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, what?
By far. Is this animal cruelty? Nah, man, by far. What?
Yeah,
like,
what?
It sounds like they just got some actual idiots to hang out in a van. And, like, that's cool for a while, but it's not cool for 45 uninterrupted minutes. Just so we can get to a scene where Elvis Presley's granddaughter, like, verbally kickflips over Star's fucking tombstone as she just shits on her. She just shits on
her. Tears
this,
her apart.
Like, tears her apart.
Yeah.
Rips her to shreds.
She's relentless.
Her Confederate flag bikini.
Making Shia LaBeouf rub fucking self-tanner on her. She dominated that room, dude. She told Star, give me my money, while she made Star's man tan her.
Imagine being Shia LaBeouf as a human, right? Not Jake in this movie. Mm-hmm. Imagine being Shia LaBeouf.
Okay, I'm in.
All right, you're in his mind frame.
Okay, and I am.
The director tells you, I want you to rub fucking cocoa butter all over Elvis Presley's granddaughter's legs.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me? This is the weird... That has to be the coolest thing he's ever done.
I would...
Why is that so cool?
Do anything to be in that moment, dude.
Why is she so... Why is she, like, held to such a high esteem in my mind?
Well, because she's an icon.
Is it because Elvis Presley is, like, the, like, one of the most famous people to ever exist?
I'm sure. It makes his entire family legacy just, like, elite. Yeah. Automatically elite. If you're part of Elvis's family, you're fucking elite.
And imagine being Shia LaBeouf.
And you're already elite. Like, that's what, I would just love to be there and just, like, be in the room with those two iconic elite people, dude. They're top tier people. Shia LaBeouf, Elvis Presley's granddaughter, and then this other girl, Star, who it sucks I don't remember her, like, actual real name, and to just remember
I think
her
it's easier
name.
To talk to them. Everyone knows Shia LaBeouf, the other characters.
Yeah.
I don't feel like, I hate to say it, but everybody knows Shia LaBeouf's name.
That's what I was going to say about her. This came out 2016, you know, so a few years ago, and I know she's been in some smaller stuff since then, but I think she was so talented, dude, and, like, seriously, like, I hope to see her in so much more stuff. Like, I thought she really carried her performance really well and, like, made us feel these really dark, uneasy, heavy feelings. Like, she killed it.
I agree. I haven't been able to listen to country music since, like, I watched that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Because it comes on at work, like, while I'm working sometimes. And spoiler for a scene, there's some country music playing and there's some...
Dude, chill,
uncomfortable
that's too much.
Stuff.
Too much info. Country music in the scene.
There's country music in the scene. And it's, like, ambient. Some guys singing to it. And it's a real creep.
Yeah.
But Shia LaBeouf plays, like, this cool fucking suave, like, greaseball dude. Like, ladies love him. He's just fucking touring the country, selling magazines.
Yeah.
Basically abducting 18-year-olds.
Yeah, he's, like, honey-potting. Honey!
Honey!
He's honey-potting, like, young girls.
We should get sponsored by Honey.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's a honey company?
No, sponsored by Honey, like, the company that you put on, like, the website that saves you money.
Oh, my God!
The real advertisement people.
Honey the... dude, I thought you were talking about a honey, like...
No.
The poo type honey. And I was like, yeah, which one? You mean Honey the app.
No, I don't know any brands of honey. Bear? Can I get the bear honey, please?
Yeah.
Can I get the Shia honey?
Yeah, that. That's our new endeavor. We're quitting the podcast. We're quitting the movie industry. We're going to be organic honey farmers and make, instead of the little bear bottles that we often see it in, Shia LaBeouf's body.
Oh, body.
And head, of course.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to be like Dan Aykroyd and how he makes the skull vodka.
Oh, that'd be nice. That'd be classier.
It would be classier. But Dan Aykroyd's a fucking crazy person.
Is he?
Yes.
I don't really know anything about Dan Aykroyd. We're not going to talk about Dan Aykroyd. That's another day.
That's the Funny Man podcast.
That's another day.
We'll bring him up. But, yeah.
Okay, so.
What else do you want to talk about?
I want to talk a little bit more about American Honey.
Because you had a lot of thoughts on it.
Yeah, I do have a lot of thoughts.
I was just kind of miserable. I was really loving the movie. Like, our first, like.
The first half.
First half of that movie is enthralling.
Yeah. You're right there in it, and, like, don't want to look away, because these characters are just so, like, we, like you were saying when we were watching, like, we know them, dude. Like, these are people's, like, neighbors and, like, trashy, like,
I've seen this guy mow a lawn. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, yeah, we see these, like, grubby little people being so grubby and shitty and just, like, the, like, underbelly of society, and her escape to kind of go do her own thing, which I thought was awesome. Like, really, really, like, deeply moved me that in the script, like, she was able to prioritize herself, because I feel like a lot of people that come from, like, more traumatic households or childhoods, like, often can't even prioritize themselves to get out. So I thought that was already really cool and, like, spoke for her character development strength, because, like I said, I think these concepts and ideas were there and executed, like how we miss Shia LaBeouf because she does, but maybe just kind of drawn out, you know?
It was just so long and it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
Because like I said, like, because the movie is so just POV, it feels like you're like watching just through some footage at mm-hmm. some points. You're like, is this edited? Is this that?
Yeah.
And you're just like, fuck, I don't care about these people's conversations anymore. Like, and you get annoyed with them. Maybe that's the intent.
To just...
Is, but you get but is Star getting exciting. Annoyed? But, like, is Star annoyed at a point? Because I felt annoyed.
And it seems like she does, too. Because, I mean, we see her. She first joins this little, like, group, right? She's, like, the shiny new guy. Everyone's paying attention to her. Until,
Dina came along.
Yeah, then Shia...
That's, like, the end of the movie, though.
For sure. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, are we supposed to be annoyed with her, or is it just organically annoying? Because that's...
Would that movie have been more interesting if, like, Dina's character was introduced earlier? And maybe Shia LaBeouf had, like, had to do the same thing he did to Star to her, but, like, still have to prove that he's in love with Star and not Crystal, even though he's clearly the toxic guy?
Yeah, that would have been...
It doesn't fucking matter. I feel like that would have been better.
Yeah, we get a new girl, his attention's on her, and he's trying to play everybody... And that would have been a story that would keep me pulled in to kind of the character interactions. But, I don't know, dude. Shia LaBeouf's killing it. Like, the time we get to do spend with... Those aren't words. The time we do get to spend with him.
He's popping the fuck off.
He's great. He's
beating the shit out of cowboys.
Yeah, going crazy.
Beating the shit out of redheaded guys who love Oakley glasses.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Fuck that guy up. We didn't even get to see that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad we didn't.
It was more ominous that way.
Yeah, because he was fucking, oh my God.
Just this, a quick, yeah, he was seriously just flying onto the scene.
Turtle.
At a 10. The turtle leads me to my last point about American Honey, is the ending really left me wanting. I don't want to say specifically what it is for anyone that's, like, going to watch it, but it definitely left me feeling unresolved. But again, was that the point? Was that their choice?
I don't necessarily feel that way, because the imagery feels like reborn. Like,
yeah, they did make it seem like she was refreshed, reborn.
Yeah, and I didn't feel that way.
No, I did not feel refreshed. I definitely don't.
I felt like her pretty much the whole movie. Mm-hmm. So I would hope that she also doesn't feel that way right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, what am I feeling that's wrong? Like, what am I missing here?
Yeah, and why don't I feel... I don't think I can
pick it up.
Reborn with her. The only thing I could pull from it is maybe she was just able to absorb that moment of being her and being in her space. And, like, that's, I guess, kind of cool, but not strong enough. If you want to add
more artistic stuff like that throughout the movie, I feel like if there was more shit like that, I would be more inclined to be okay with that ending. Because, like, in for example, Charlie Countryman, they introduce concepts that are like super artsy and fucking out of left field from what like the reality of the story actually is. You know what I mean? Like it separates itself a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. With like the spiritual side of it. Yeah,
exactly. And but like how it comes back in so naturally and you're like,
yeah, it's seamless. It really works together.
Yeah. Whereas like, if you have more of that throughout your movie, you introduce the concept and you like build how it works or like what those things can mean.
Yeah, you can't just throw in this big thing at the end. This little artsy thing at the end. No, you're right, it doesn't work.
That means nothing to what you just saw.
No, it didn't.
Gift of a turtle, swim kelp locks.
Yeah.
Like
I was not satisfied. I did not feel resolved.
Not at all.
But I did feel that I understood her character, Shia LaBeouf's character, and honestly, even Elvis Presley's granddaughter's character. She had her own little arc going that was pretty strong, actually. At least for a secondary character. I mean, it wasn't like anything crazy, but, you know, she had her own shit going on, so I did feel like invested in these people, and that's why I felt a little bit robbed. I'm like, what the fuck? I just spent 3 hours with these people.
What happened?
Like, what's up? Yeah.
Like, is Elvis Presley not hanging around anymore?
Yeah, like, what's going
on? Why'd she drop four girls off in front of all these construction workers, and they thought they were prostitutes? She goes, hey, girls, I got this song just for us. Now you make these boys go wild or some shit like that.
Yeah, at the oil field,
Yeah, at the oil field. They got lots of money, so I picked this song specifically. I picked it. I got something for y'all.
I looked through
that's what I said
hours.
In the movie. I got something for y'all. So that means I chose this specific thing. I wanted to take this direction down this avenue, all right? We fell in love in a hopeless place. Now we're going to have a 4-minute dance scene where you guys are going to get generally disinterested.
It was so funny. It was the whole song.
It was the whole song. And then, like, you could see the actors, or if they were real people, I don't know. I didn't do enough research in this movie. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just expressing myself right now. They looked uninterested. They were like, I don't want to dance anymore.
We saw Shrimp making all these.
Shrimp is the girl with the blue hair.
Yeah, blue hair Shrimp. If you watch it, you'll automatically be like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, she's Shrimp.
That they're calling her Shrimp. She's Shrimp. So, yeah, Shrimp, you see her dead eyes.
Rat tail, cat-faced game of cat and mouse, this whole movie.
This is a whole metaphor, dude. He is convinced that Star's character has...
Oh, my God, it's Tom and Jerry in real
features.
Life.
This is Tom and Jerry live action in the edition.
Oh, my fucking God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did it.
Yeah, we did it. We did it.
All right.
All right, so that's American Honey, then. And then we have...
Jesus Christ.
Okay, this one's, like, really emotional for me. Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
Boom. Big reveal.
Boom.
We should have printed out a picture of Shia LaBeouf and put Shia LaBlunt. Shia LaBlunt! I mean, it doesn't work as well, but it works enough. It works enough for me.
I wish I had a picture of him with the blunt in his mouth. Like, you know, we could drill a hole, like, poke a hole through, and it'd be like he's, like, smoking.
We both can get behind it. Like things you put your face in at fairs and shit. Makes you look like the fat farmer and his cow. You always put the wife as the cow, and you're like, oh god.
Yeah, it's that
boomer humor.
But it's Shia LaBeouf and another Shia LaBeouf,
and we can smoke through the mask.
Or I know, we get the mask and just poke eye holes, and we blow smoke through the eye holes. That'll look cool.
That would look cool. No, we should get, like, two tubes attached to the desk right here along with mics.
Yes.
When we get them.
What do you mean? You'll put this wireless lab set up?
Dude, these labs are seamless.
They're crazy.
No, we should get mic stands with the little tube on it. We can just blow it out. Shia LaBeouf can be a reoccurring character.
If you don't stop coming up with these fucking genius ideas, this is good.
We're a good team.
We're marketing moguls, dude. Ever since we took those mushrooms, something in our minds like intertwined as marketing moguls, and now we can make anything.
Our wavelengths high-fived.
Yes.
Shia LaBeouf. That's going to get old so fast.
Yeah, dude.
It's already old.
Aaron's going to be editing this. He's like, shut the fuck up.
It's not as good as Aqua. When I said things Aquaman related. Aqua bro.
He's an Aqua fan.
I'm an Aqua fan.
All right, so Honey Boy. Yeah, yeah. Honey Boy was came out in 2019, and he wrote and directed that movie?
No, he didn't direct it.
Or just
it.
Wrote it.
So, yeah, he wrote it. He wrote it while he was in, while he was in, like, in rehab, while he was recovering.
Okay, that's awesome.
And the movie is pretty much, like, what the movie is what happened. Like, he took you through scenes of him talking to his therapist.
Yeah.
It was, like, his journal.
Yeah, yeah. Anyone who hasn't seen it, it's Shia LaBeouf's cutting back and forth between childhood memories and being in treatment, going through those memories, but he doesn't play... Himself. He plays his dad, who is really the root of all this trauma.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking heavy and good. Tell me your thoughts. What do you think?
I think Honey Boy is a slept-on masterpiece. I think,
oh, yeah.
I think Honey Boy is probably one of the best movies I've ever seen. If you want to be, if you want me to be completely honest, I think Shia LaBeouf kills his performance as his father. Granted, I don't know his father, so... But the
but
performance
I feel like
was
I
so
do
strong.
With this.
Exactly,
yeah.
I agree.
I buy it. I'm in. And
the way his father talks to him totally sounds like why he talks the way he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, it's basically his autobiography. Chief, I apologize. Take one more, even though I realized I was already
so,
chiefing.
My bad.
My bad.
Oh,
no
damn,
shit,
bro.
My bad. A good thought. It felt good to have. You feel good when you have it.
Yeah, the Elon Musk pose, bro. I feel you. I'm Rogan.
Yeah, man. Fucking, I'm making so much noise by moving. Sorry, Aaron. But yeah, it's basically just his life whenever he was, like, filming
yeah.
Even Stevens. And he gets, like, this fucking, he got this incredible cast. I watched, like, cast interviews about that movie and shit. And the kid.
Sorry about that.
Shia cough. But he gets this little fucking British kid to play him, and he, like, hits it out of the fucking park. I felt like that.
Oh, yeah, that kid was British.
That kid was British. I remember the story about how he got hired on to, like, on set. He came for the fucking audition.
Oh, you know? The, wait, like...
Yeah.
All right, tell me what
he,
you know.
He came to the audition, and one thing led to another. It somehow, he was outside getting into character. So, like, his dad came in. He had met his dad before he had even met him. And because his dad is his agent or something, or his dad represents him.
Okay.
And his dad was like, he's outside getting into character. And so... Shia LaBeouf just goes out there and just talks to him and just runs lines with him and just starts acting with him in the parking lot as Shia LaBeouf, like, just meeting this kid.
Literally the coolest
and the
guy
kid,
in the
and
world.
The kid did it. And I feel bad at calling him the kid. He's a phenomenal actor.
Yeah, he's...
He blew it out of the fucking water.
He is so fucking talented. I was moved to so many emotions. Not to sound corny, but literally, like... dragged through all of these super heavy, crazy, bleak feelings, and it was delivered. Of course, Shia LaBeouf is the dad, but we're riding this roller coaster, reacting with child Shia LaBeouf, and his performance was fucking crazy. Like, he was right there with Shia LaBeouf's energy. Like, what the fuck? He was 14 or 13 when they filmed that.
I know, and it was fun. It didn't feel like it was like. That's the crazy part. And the other two movies I just mentioned, like, yeah, Shia LaBeouf steals the fucking stage. He
yeah.
blows it out of the water. And pretty much no one else is acting on his level in either of those movies, I would say.
I agree.
American Honey and Charlie Countryman.
Agree.
Yo, every other actor in that movie, so good. Including the guy who plays in treatment, Shia LaBeouf.
Oh yeah,
the kid, the
he's
guy
so
from
talented.
Mid-90s,
Oh, he's in mid-90s. Okay.
Dude, I just watched mid-90s. Like, you haven't seen... Oh, yeah, you haven't seen
it. No, and I'm like a Jonah Hill fanatic, and I heard him on a podcast. I gotta see it. I'm gonna watch it, like, soon.
Please, watch it tonight.
I think I'm gonna. Yeah, it's on the list high up there.
I think I might watch it again tonight. It's so good. But he gets the older brother in mid-90s to play him. And
nice.
Energy, oh, cool. I want to see him in treatment. And it is... His energy, exactly. Like, yo, it was so crazy.
That's dope. Yeah, he was very talented.
Because I feel like he has, in a weird way, a harder job because, like, he's older and he doesn't look like Shia LaBeouf. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that, like, kind of, like, that immediately draws, whereas, like, a younger child star, it's more passable. Like, you can pass, like, what's his name from It. Finn Wolfhard with Bill Hader, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, you can do that with Shia LaBeouf and the child star who played younger Shia LaBeouf.
And he had a similar look to him. So,
yeah. Like, but, like, when you get older, that's where you start running into, you're like, okay, this is harder. But they didn't even try, like, to make him really look like him. He just, like, act like me.
Yeah.
The dude was
it was fine.
His performance was incredible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, he really was, like... on it, and how intimidating to play the fucking guy that wrote the movie and the movie's about that's there in the movie also. Like, imagine being the guy that played young Shia LaBeouf. I wish I knew his name too. I don't. But imagine being him and being on set with fucking Shia LaBeouf, dude, seeing how your Shia LaBeouf performance is.
And he's, like, watching because he's the writer. Like, this is like this is something he's so passionate
from
about.
From his heart. This was his healing treatment stuff that he put on paper.
That's like, the best part about the director, too. So, like, I want to see the rest of the director's, like, filmography. Because that was her first time making a movie. She was a documentary director.
That's so cool.
And she was just one of Shia LaBeouf's friends and like a contact they had that he was keeping up with while he was in treatment.
Yeah.
And that's how they came to the decision like to do it together.
She killed it. They killed it together. I hope they do more stuff together.
I completely agree because like I like watch an interview about this movie. It makes you so sad because you're like. These people are so close together because of this movie. Because, like, the way she describes, like, they're all talking about it. Shia LaBeouf in the room, and they all just talk about Shia LaBeouf's vision the entire time. He's like, they're like, I think we just wanted, you know, to make Shia LaBeouf, like, Shia's vision come to life, and I think we did that perfectly, and all this, like.
That's so cool. Like, how healing, like, how. So healing, and I'm really cathartic and weird to play your own dad and be heard.
Talking about how they had to film. I think they filmed it in 19 days.
Wow.
If I'm not mistaken, I know it's something absurd like that. Like, with it, like below 20.
Dude. That's really crazy.
Oh, yeah. And fucking the guy who was playing, like, not adolescent. I'm an idiot. Fucking in treatment. Shia LaBeouf, he apparently during the filming of the movie, he was staying at Shia LaBeouf's house and Shia LaBeouf and the kid were staying at the motel during the filming of the movie.
To just be in character and that is so fucking cool, dude. So many levels of Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBond.
Yeah, they were hanging out constantly for that movie. Like,
yeah, you have to. I mean, their interactions were unreal.
I don't really know like how to describe the plot of the movie other than it just goes through the process like as his childhood years go by on a timeline. There are some things that are coming up in Shia LaBeouf's like transform or like in treatment days. Things are coming up like from his past there, and the timeline just matches like just the time he spent with his father on Even Stevens.
Yeah.
And how that caused his, like, downfall in adulthood. Like, that's the easiest way to describe the movie, other than trying... Like, I'm not going to try to break down the
that's
plot.
That's a perfect way to describe it. Yeah. We get to see flashes of his childhood stuff while he's in treatment.
His father is, like, a failed rodeo clown. And
oh, my God, I totally forgot about that.
His father, like, loves being a rodeo clown and takes performance, like, really serious.
His dad is a fucking clown,
and
bro.
He keeps calling his son a clown. He's like, you make people laugh. You make people laugh. Like, Shia LaBeouf is, like, telling his childhood self all these hurtful things. That is intense.
So heavy. What I thought was really cool that stood out when the Shia LaBeouf as his dad. So the dad is talking to the child saying, like, do the nostril thing. Flare your nostrils. That's funny.
That's funny.
And I remember so vividly watching Even Stevens when I was young, watching his nose holes do that and doing it too when I'd watch it and wiggling them and seeing how big his were. And so I thought that was so fucking weird and something that obviously stuck with him enough to put it in that and, like, something that's a memorable trait of him from when he was young. And just so very interesting.
They did a fisheye lens thing in Charlie Countryman where he just kept saying yes underneath the blanket, remember? He's like, yes. And he had the fisheye with the... He was flaring his big fucking nostrils because the man's got a fucking schnoz on.
Yeah, he does have a schnoz. A Shia schnoz. A
Shia schnoz. Schnozzle the buff.
Yeah. Oh, he's so good. He's in something called The Tax... You know what the fuck I'm talking about? Tax Collector. The Tax Collector.
I haven't seen that.
I don't know if it's out or coming out.
You know
out.
What? I haven't seen the one with him and fucking Tom Hardy either. I need to see that movie.
What is that?
Lawless, I think.
Oh, I haven't seen that either.
I believe that's... I know. I need to see it. Everyone talks about it so highly. It's about him being moonshiners.
Yeah, we'll have to watch that because I just... even.
I think he knocked that out of the fucking ballpark.
Even if I don't always like love maybe what... Like we're talking about. Like American Honey is about fucking... teens on the road selling magazines, right? Technically, if you want to
say
what
they're doing. Magazines. Playboy, you like fishing, boats. She's the worst salesperson. She can only make a sale if she goes on a drive with somebody. Hey, can I get in the car? What's up? I'm bad at this. He's an asshole. You're going to buy magazines?
And then they buy them, though. And they buy them.
Pretty girl, dreadlocks.
Yeah, they're like, fine, yes.
Cool, I'll buy your fucking magazines. Cool, you seem genuine. Yeah. I'm down with your vibe. Because she is genuine. She's straight up about what she needs.
For real.
And I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? That's fine.
That's even something she brought up. Oh, sorry.
But she's a terrible salesperson nonetheless. That doesn't mean, that doesn't detract from my statement at all. Terrible salesperson.
Yes, yet effective.
But it's such a toxic way.
Toxic and effective are often synonymous. In my, in my realm.
Can you imagine a business person trying to say something like that, though? Are you kidding me?
She's a young girl. Yeah. Yeah, that's like Girl Scout cookies. A kid comes
this
up.
This is like Girl Scout cookies. I'm high as fuck.
Kid comes up to you and is trying to sell you a box of cookies. And,
yep. Been in that position.
Okay.
Get the fuck out of my face. I sell cookies.
If they're not a 10, if they're not a 10 to you, real life, a kid knocks on this door right now. Interrupts this podcast and he's like, she's like, well, can you buy some fucking cookies because of like Girl Scouts and COVID or something? And you're like, that was a horrible sales technique. Are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding?
I would say I would squat down to her level so she could understand what the fuck was
happening. All right, eye to eye, man to man.
I would take the blunt out of your hand because we'd be mid-conversation, I'm assuming.
Yes.
I would take it from you and I'd go, you're going to come at me with all that bullshit? You're fired. And push your forehead and I close the door.
Fired?
Fired.
Fired from what?
You're fired. Kids sell cookies. Don't give him his jacket back. Throw him out in the cold. Don't give his jacket back. Close the door.
Not the don't give him his jacket back. God damn, that guy's a clown. He's a rodeo clown.
He is a rodeo clown. Honestly, fairly reminiscent of his father, I'd say. I'd say they give off a similar vibe.
Donald Trump
and his father saying it is like, you got a little pecker, you can't piss worth shit, bud.
Oh yeah, dude, so weird.
Oh my
god,
so active about your child. You can't fucking juggle, drop a ball, do 10 push-ups. I don't know why I'm giving him such a southern accent. He didn't have all that.
He had a little,
like,
one.
It was a little
enough
twang
to mock.
Yeah, like, I guess, because I'm not gonna try to do an impression of Shia LaBeouf doing an impression of his
way,
father.
Dude, don't do that.
You know what's something crazy about that movie? You know how Shia LaBeouf got his dad to sign off about it?
Oh, did he?
He got his dad to sign off on it. He sent his dad the
how?
Script. He was like, yeah, I'm thinking about having Mel Gibson play you. Because Shia LaBeouf's a friend with Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson read the script and was like, this is awesome.
Did he know all along that he wasn't going to...
Yeah, he knew full damn well he was going to play
gotta
his father.
Gotta love that.
Got him. Got his ass.
Tricked you. That's what he gets at the very least, bro. Fuck
that
guy, right?
But he said, like, ever since that movie's come out, he goes, yeah, my father loves the movie. He's like, we talk about it. He said he loves being a star.
Dude, why does that not surprise me that it's some narcissistic thing?
He goes, we have a very sweet relationship now. I don't know why I'm still giving Shia LaBeouf a southern accent.
you're in the zone, and it's pulling me into the zone. I feel like I'm at the table with Shia LaBeouf's father.
You know what Shia LaBeouf did with his relationship with his father?
What?
He got it out the mud.
Oh, hell no.
You're canceled. What, you don't like that American Honey reference, that Kevin Gates reference? Is that Kevin Gates?
Yeah, it was Kevin Gates.
It was Kevin Gates?
Yeah, it was
cool.
Kevin
I don't listen to Kevin Gates. Sorry, this movie forced me to listen to Kevin Gates for so much of it.
Yeah, it was on like a good two or three times. I do wonder so genuinely what the budget was for music on that, because they have like 15 to 20 songs, like popular songs, known songs in that movie.
What was
the budget? Can you look up the budget on that? Where's your phone?
I got you. It's in my pocket. Yeah. You think I came ill-prepared? I sure did.
Sure did. Sure enough. Yeah, what was the budget? Let me guess. 19 million. 19 to 23.
Hurry. You said 19 to 23?
Yeah.
19 to 23?
Mm-hmm.
3.5. 3.5 million.
What a gross. 5 million?
Let me see. Box office. 1.8 million.
What? It flopped?
It flopped bad.
Damn, dude. That's not right.
That's big bad.
They did that. Charlie Countryman was done dirty.
Let me go on IMDb. Let me see if I can do a deep dive. Maybe there's something different I can see about it. Because it's rated 7.0 out of 10 on IMDb.
Yeah, it does not deserve
I'm glad I have
a low
IMDb.
Rating. Yeah, IMDb is the best. Yeah, man. I don't know. Honey Boy. We're talking about the budget on American Honey.
Yeah.
3.5. How much of that went to music? How much of that went to Kevin Gates, to Gucci Mane, and to Fade Into You by Mazzy Star? I want numbers.
Dude, I can't give that to you. I'm so high. Yeah,
you
no,
can't
sorry.
Give it to me. I don't think anyone could.
No, I don't think I really could. I don't think I really could do that right now. I'm sorry. It's kind of your fault. You got me so high.
I'm sorry, but we hotboxed this apartment because there's no ventilation.
There's no ventilation at all.
Literally,
Mac
look.
Mac is probably... Oh, my God.
Mac's fine. He's in the other room.
Is that animal abuse? By far.
By far.
But no.
Mac
man,
is in the
far.
Fresh other room. Except for now.
Got him.
But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, out of these...
I don't know what to say about American... Or I'm sorry, Honey Boy, other than like... Yo, watch it. It's really good. Like,
it's so good.
You just need to watch it. It's like, don't really watch it. So I don't like, I haven't really delved into talking about it with anybody really. I kind of just like to watch it. It's like one of those movies where I can just like put it on and like I can just absorb it. And like, wow, this is.
It's so heavy
this
in
is really
what
personal
it is.
And really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way they talk about this film, like is just awesome.
Yeah.
Like the way the director like explained it, she goes, we had to recreate a scene from Transformers, so I had to recreate a Michael Bay scene. She's like, that's crazy.
That's really
and
cool.
She was like. And then she said something like, I got to feel what it was like to play with the big boys for once. For one day. And then we went back to shooting our movie.
That's cool.
I was like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
No, she killed it. And he's awesome. And
Fly.
Oh, dude, I always call that the Mike Pence fly. Anytime we're recording, there's always a fly circulating.
Zoom in on it. It's Jim Carrey. It's Joe Biden. Nah.
A poorly aged new SNL skit that didn't work now and probably never will.
Dude, could you imagine if like a Tim Robbins sketch turned into like, or like, what if they, what would their take of an SNL sketch be like?
Oh, I don't
like,
know.
Like imagine like they went into funny. It to make like a meta like SNL joke. That would be fucking scary.
It gives me the fucking... game show vibes.
Oh, yeah.
The one that they got Andy Samberg for.
You had the whole summer.
Chunky!
Chunky doesn't talk.
Figure out what you do, Chunky! Yeah, dude, no. I think You Should Leave was supposed to have a new season in 2020, but I don't know if because of COVID it's like postponed. But it was supposed to be 2020.
I want to see Shia LaBeouf and more really funny stuff.
I feel like he's fun. Shia LaBeouf. I feel like he's funny, like, naturally. And remember when he did that, like, a little stunt with that bag on his head? Like,
I'm not famous anymore.
Person.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're
he
silly.
He watched all of his movies in order.
Is that... Do you know what led up to that?
No.
That's what led up to that? Oh, you're giving him a lore?
No, that's what happened.
He watched all of his movies in order.
He filmed himself watching all of his movies in order in theaters.
He was like sleeping. I know exactly.
He's like sleeping through half of them, and he's like watching the Even Stevens movie. Like,
dude, he's a character.
No, it's just awesome.
Yeah, he just seems like such a cool guy, dude. You just shake his hand. Just want to be around him.
Just want to be cool with him. Just want to be his friend. Just like the guy, man.
Dude, Even Stevens' movie was a fucking roller coaster. Don't play with me all over that island.
Even Stevens is slept on.
It is.
No, it's really slept on. Phil of the future.
Oh my god, remember when everyone pretended that he was, like, a sexual assailant, but it was actually just a clip from him on, like, CSI or something?
What? Phil of the future?
Yeah.
I didn't keep up with him past the show. What the fuck are you talking about?
Okay, well, there's
Disney
basically...
Disney Channel War? I was a fucking Cartoon Network kid.
There was basically this scandal, I remember. I think it was, like, a freshman in high school, maybe 8th grade or something. Like, there was a clip from one of those, like, crime shows that the Phil of the Future guy was on as, like, the antagonist, like, sexual assailant in the show. But, like, people online had, like, made it look like he was, like, a real-life sexual assailant from those clips.
No, bro.
Yeah. And so, like, there was,
interspliced with the, like, the vent and the stinky cheese.
It was, like, a big scandal against...
Make him a supervillain. Phil of the Future comes back to the past to wreak havoc.
Yeah, literally. So everyone thought, like, him in real life, like, him as a real life person, this man was, like, now, like, a sexual assailant, right. And he wasn't, and could, like, what the fuck, dude? That's so fucked up. He didn't even do it.
He did Phil of the Future, though, so.
You just said it was slept on.
It was, but come on. You didn't do anything else past that.
He did the fucking like, that crime was really show cool. And then got shit
what
for
What crime
it.
Show? I don't believe you. Dude, God. We're so off track.
Look at all this. Yeah.
Yeah, oh my God.
We're big off track. What are we at? We're just chilling at this point. Yeah, so... Watch Charlie Countryman, American Honey, and Honey Boy. Out of those three, I'll wrap it up with this. What do you think you'd say your favorite is?
Ooh, that's a fucking tough choice. That's a tough choice. Charlie Countryman.
Really?
Charlie Countryman's okay. My favorite. Charlie Countryman, I've seen it so many times. I love it. It's just so cool. I like it. It's just a nice little movie I can put on. It's like... If I want to really watch it, like, it's like, I'm like, oh, man, sad moments. I'll cry. But if I just want to put it on in the background, it's a great movie for that, too. It's just okay. It's a comfort movie for me. Honey Boy makes me feel very, very, very bad.
Yeah.
But very good and lighthearted because it's so pretty. But, like, it's a fucking, it's rough because you know how kind of real it is.
Yeah,
you
for
know,
sure.
How, like, fucking grounded that movie is in reality. But, yeah, American Honey comes dead last.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, I think I'd say Honey Boy is my favorite for sure. Followed by Charlie Countryman and American Honey. All right, guys, next week, we don't have it nailed down what we're doing, to be honest, so buckle in. We're dropping down just to Saturdays now, so that'll be out on Spotify every Saturday and then on our YouTube channel. So, bye.
Coming to you from dreary Portland, Oregon.
What the fuck?
Shut up, lady. You're fucking up the audio.
Your hosts, Katie Cassidy and Aaron Bratcher, have some hot takes on film, cinema, and the movies. That's all the same thing. It's the Ask Backwards Podcast. You idiot. You moron.